Hello, folks. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm John Saxbury, your host here at Revival Now. I want to talk to you today about the vision of the church. I know we're celebrating an awful day today in our nation, and I just want to ease everybody's minds off of it and talk about the vision of the church. I mean, it doesn't need to be a tragedy to happen for people to come to church, for an outbreak to happen and an outpouring to happen to get people's attention. People should want to be hungry for the things of God. And this is what I'm going to talk to you about today. Okay, this was given to me by Pastor Rick Shelton. He is the founding pastor of Life Church St. Louis. He's given me the permission to go ahead and talk about this on this broadcast before. So I'm going to credit him on this. This is a word he gave us. And it says, I hear the Lord saying that today I call my people to a day of reckoning. I say this day that there are many things that I am calling you to, that for some the decision will be difficult. There are many things to be for the attention for my will. But I say that I am calling you, and you are going to have to make some some tough decisions, because the days ahead are not like the days gone by. I'm calling my people to be firebrands, passionate for my will and for my presence. Today, days are coming when this world will be willing to listen to people who are called by my name, and that I want to shape you and hone you into instruments and vessels that are meet for my use. But there must come a dying before there can be a resurrection. There must come a laying on the altar before there can be an incense that is raised for the world to smell and to see. So I am calling my people to give up on every other thing that would compete with my will and my purpose and my plan for you. I want to talk to you. I mean, this here, I want to go in. If you go with me to the book of Corinthians, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapters 7:14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and I shall turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Basically, God is saying this. He wants to do a revival in this last hour. He wants to take the church and shake it to its foundations. That'll change the entire infrastructure of the church. That's going to it's going to break down the four walls, per se. That's going to take apart the very denominational barriers that separated the church. It's going to raise the church up in unity as one. We've got to understand this. That when we want revival, we've got to understand the Holy Spirit. Stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. We want a Holy Spirit-guided church. We do not want to a board-guided church. Oh, we got to have the deacons and elders to guide this thing, and we got to have this. And it's about letting go. It's about letting go and letting God take over. We've got to let God take over His church. Let God run His church. I mean, we've been built too much competition against the presence of God in the past years. We've built movements. We've built structures. We've built programs that has nothing to do with the presence of God. That has grieved the heart of God. So we've got to step up and do something different. This is not about calling out. I mean, I'm not trying to stay within in the focus of this thing. This is about stepping up and allowing God to take over His church. For too long, we've wanted everything our way. Like the Laodicean church, we want this, and so we want the music a certain way. We want the worship to be a certain way. We want the we got to have our own seating. We got to have a seating. We have to be in with the pastor. We have to do this with the we have to do this and that. And the pastor has to please us and meet our needs. The pastor does not have to meet your needs for one. One, the only person that is ever to meet your needs is God. God is the only person you want to meet your needs. It's not living off of a pastor and making him your meal ticket. It's not getting what you want. It's about taking everything you want and everything you desire and killing it on this altar. Killing it off and allowing God to allow Jesus to re-resurrect that thing. Talks about a nation turning from their wicked ways. I mean, we shouldn't have to have a major catastrophe like such the ones down in Texas with the Walmart shooting. We shouldn't have the ones where the Mandalay Bay were all with prayers for this city, prayers for that city, prayers for New York City, prayers for St. Louis, prayers for Boston, prayers for New York, prayers for Miami, prayers for Tampa Bay, prayers for this. And we should be constantly praying. We should be wanting to pray for every city of our nation. We should be wanting to pray for our leaders. Not just waiting for some bad thing to happen where it catches us and we're going and running to God like a little kid in trouble. We're sorry, God. We're sorry. We promise we'll do better next time. We'll pray harder next time. We'll go to church next time. More next time. We'll get out. We'll do communion more next time. It ain't about all of that. It's about constantly staying in a place of surrender. It's about constantly staying in a place in His presence. And staying in a place of that fire building up in you. We shouldn't have to have a catastrophe to want to pray to pray for our cities. To want revival in our cities. We shouldn't have to wait till they're shooting us up and they're ready to take our guns. We should automatically want to do it. We should automatically have it in us to do that. Not wait for something to happen. Such as the likes of 9/11. It was 18 years ago this morning. I mean, you can't wait for something bad to happen in order to go cry to God because you want Him to fix the thing. We should be remaining in His presence. We should be abiding in that place. I tell you, the days will come when everyone will see clearly the choice in which they should make. But I ask you ahead of time to do it not because of the obvious things that you see, but do it because you love me. People will want to praise because they love God. They should want to pray because they're in love with God and they want to have that relationship with God. America should want that relationship with God. We should want that as a country, a relationship with God, that one-on-one relationship. But we haven't. We wait until something bad happens, and then the church is put up here on the church is getting in the high mode, and then after a couple weeks, that disaster just kind of goes back to business as usual. We shouldn't be that way. We need to repent of that mentality. We should do it because we love God. We shouldn't have to do this because we want to have some sort of repentance. We shouldn't be that in desperate need of repentance as a nation. What we have, we became a part. We became like God, like a soda machine. Whenever you need it, just go push the button. Whenever you need it, just go push the button. Put your prayer in and push the button and get what you want out and walk away and go back to business as usual. It shouldn't be like that. We should be in constant 100% in love with Him. Don't wait till people are crying with fear, devastation, and destruction. Fall upon your face before me. Just because I am calling you and because I am drawing you, it is one thing to believe when once you see, but it's not much better if you believe though through you have not seen. I mean, he's saying this. He's saying, believe in the big things. Believe me for big. Trust me. People want to go by what they see. They want to go by what they have in their bank accounts. We live about what we have. We have in our health. We don't want to just believe God for the impossible anymore. We've gotten to where we just don't even. And it's not even miracles and miracle signs and wonders scares the hen's teeth in the church. But I'm believing. I believe right now we are in the brink of a major worldwide revival because there's a lot of pastors that are tired and wore out and tired of doing it their way. They're tired of doing things their own way. They're tired of doing things in their own strength and their own power. They want the presence of God to take over. My pastors have been hungry since day one. They've been hungry for a move of God since day one. Them two kids are two fireballs. They have never seen some two kids more hungrier. Pastor Josh and Tori Shelton, I've never seen them more hungrier. Hallelujah. So I am calling my people to a higher place. If you have received much now, I tell you that you are on the precipice of the time when you are going to be giving more than you are receiving. That you have received and received. That you have received and received. Now, out of what you have received, it's time to let it go because there is a world that is thirsty and hungry. And I sent my son to die for that world. And I quote this. You're denying the people. When people reject, when people try to shut off the things of the Holy Spirit and the things of in the move of God, they're basically shutting the people off that are hungry and thirsty. Because they're wanting to do things under their own power and their own will, their own strength. You deny them of that of which they're in desperate need of. The people are desperate for a touch of God. People are wanting something real. Religion is nothing but serve up stuff that's bogus, that's artificial. People are tired of that. People are tired of the artificial. I mean, we've got to get back into where we're contending for the real. We've lost our sense of contending for the real. This isn't about contending for our own wants and needs and what comforts us and what we want for to benefit our social life. The church wasn't designed for our social life and our social status. I've seen too many of them that rob the people who are in need because they have to have their place. They have to have their place in the church, and they have to have their place with the pastor, and they have to have their place where nobody can come in. They don't want nobody on because they don't want nobody to take something from them. And when you become born again, you everything that you want and desire and hope for and everything, it dies. That thing you're trying to achieve, your achievements die. Your achievements are dead. I mean, this is not. It's not rocket science. If Jesus laid his life down for the church and laid down everything for the church, how much more do you think we should be laying down for the church? And for the lost and dying world. I mean, Jesus died for the lost and dying world. He didn't die for the church. He didn't die for the saved. He died for the lost. He died so that we can have eternal life. The lost and dying world can have an eternal life. Do not hold up things for yourself. Do not live selfishly. But open up yourself and be willing to lay everything down, because then, only then, will you be able to enjoy it, and to be able to enjoy in the days ahead. The full beauty of my presence, because I am getting ready to pour out my spirit on the earth. But it is not going to happen as in days past, but I am going to pour out my spirit through you, and it is going to be a spirit that is going to cry as the people are crying in the wilderness. Prepare your way, make your path straight, for the King of Glory is getting ready to come into his temple. Learn to give, learn to live in my presence, for it's not what you can get, but learn to live in my presence for the one prize of communion with me, and that is all. People think that they get to live in the presence of God so they can get into ministry and they can achieve all this lavishness, all this wealth. It's not about that. Yes, ministers should be paid. If they're doing the work of ministry, they should be paid well. That's how I stand on that. But then again, on the same note, live because you want to serve God, because you want that communion with God, not for what you can get out of His hand, not for you can seek His hand, but you can seek His face. It's the problem with too many people in the church. They want to seek what's in the hand, seek God for what's in His hand versus what's in His face. I learned that from Pastor Rick too. I'll pay you later. Learn to live in my presence for the one prize of communion with me, and that is all. For therein lies the joy of your heart. And therein lies the joy of my heart. And as you do, you will find that these things will no longer make you happy. But it is only the time in my presence that makes you happy. Come up higher. I am calling you. I am calling you to a place of surrender, a place of giving up all else besides me. Let me be your all in all, and in return, and I will be all in all in you, says the Lord God. This is powerful. This here you can't duplicate. This here is fire. It's pure fire. You can't get any more realer than what God wants to do in this earth today. I mean, we've got to understand, like I said before, we shouldn't have to wait for a tragedy to happen to get on our face before God. We as the United States should be wanting to get on our face before God, regardless of anything that's going on, regardless of what has happened and with the news reports and what's going on around our world. We should want to praise Him. We should want to give Him glory, no matter what season it is in. Amen. I mean, we've got to come to the place where we have to turn from that wicked ways. We have to turn from that, like it says in Chronicles. And it says in 15, now my eyes are open and my ears are attentive to the prayer that is made in this place in verse 15. For I have chosen, it's verse 16, and I quote, for I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name be there forever. My eyes, my heart will be there for all time. As for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, and doing according to all that I have commanded you, and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted you with David, your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. But if you turn aside, forsake statutes and my commandments that I have set before you, and go serve other gods and worship them, and then I will pluck you up from my land that I have given you, and this house that I consecrated for my name's sake, I will cast you out of my sight, and I will make it a proverb, a byword amongst all people. And that if this house, which is exalted, every one passing will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord God, their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and laid hold of other gods, worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this disaster among them. I want to say this right here. We've gotten into the problem where we've worshipped other things. Other things have become our God, our success, our wealth, our possessions. Our other gods have become our idolatry. We've put ourselves above God. I mean, even in ministry, I've seen so much idolatry. You know, where it's symbolism over substance. We've substituted the things of God. That's creating other gods. That's idol worship. When you substitute the anointing, you're creating idol worship. And we've done it in the Church of America. I mean, we've thrown out speaking in the tongues. We've thrown out wanting to cast out devils. We've thrown out we've thrown revival almost completely out. That's why a lot of the major mega churches went, because they decided that they had a better way than God. We've taken out the teaching of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is. It goes on and on. No wonder why God doesn't want to move in his church. We've replaced him with other things. But this here, we've got to come back to that place where we're making God number one. God wants to be number one in our life. He wants to be number one in our country. And it's time we make him number one in our country. We want to thwart terrorism. We need to raise up a shout. We need to raise up a shout. I said we need to raise up a shout. We've got to come out of our shells and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Come on, everybody. I know you're listening to me. We've got to put up a shout. We've got to clear our enemies out. Yes, we have a lot of enemies surrounding us. But the Lord is our God. He is our refuge. He shall rise up. We shall rise above them. We've got to rise above this by putting Jesus number one, by declaring that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Oh, glory to God. Well, this has been awesome. This has been an awesome time. Like I said, we got to make him number one. We got to display him out there. We want to kick out all those problems in our country. Declare Jesus Christ as King of Kings. He'll go before us. He'll fight this battle. He will fight our battle. We don't have to fight nothing. He will fight before us and clear out our enemies and make our enemies flee. We need to rise up and allow the Holy Spirit to be poured out, just as it was in the days of old. What happened in the day of Pentecost was because everybody was pressing in, despite what was going on in Israel. There was people in the streets. I mean, there was a lot of calamity going on in the streets because Jesus had just came back from the dead. Rome was going crazy. Rome was going bonkers. They were going bonkers at the time. They were trying to overtake. But when the name of the Lord came, when the presence of the Lord moved in on the day of Pentecost, it stopped everything. It became a notable event around the world. It became a global event. That day of Pentecost was a notable event all around the world. And we want that day to come back. We got to make this where it's notable, where the presence of God shuts down our enemies, shuts down what's going on around us. Yes, ISIS is, and Islam is on the rise. It's trying to dominate the world, but yet we have a God that's bigger than the name of Islam. Muhammad's in the grave, but Jesus is alive, and he's alive forevermore. Amen? He's still alive. He still knows what's going on. And he wants to step out and be that defender of our country, defending our rights. I'm not sitting here trying to do a political campaign or anything, and I'm not thinking, but I'm going to say something. I thank God we have a president that knows how to sincerely pray, that is hungry for the word of God, that is hungry for a move of God. President Trump, I love you. God bless you for everything you're doing in our nation to make our nation great, to make God great in our nation. Amen. Well, I'm going to get off here. I love you. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.